Last time we were talking about the wiles of the devil, we talked about how he works on us and through some different things. And we talked about loss, how the devil can work on us through loss. And if you lose stuff, not talking about your mind or your, although it could be that too, but your car keys, but a family member, you know, for some, an election, right? We haven't lost anything yet, but I know, right? But some of us live like that. And that's why we preached last Sunday night what we did, because people are turning the corner, and it's a blessing, but it's a spiritual thing. You can't go anywhere else and get a fix and have it be right in your mind. You have to put on the armor of the Lord. We have to do that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And as we go through the very familiar parts, we're going to talk about pieces that they cover and why it's important and what happens when we don't cover those parts. What happens? What is the wounds that we sustain? What does it look like? I said, man, that guy didn't, right? I mean, you see somebody that has, you know, somebody yesterday saw one of the rallies where he got hit, you know, and his eyes broke, right? It's like up here, it's all split, look like you've been in a boxing match, right? That's not hard, right? Head wound, right? That's right. What part wasn't protected? Well, it was his lower extremity. No, it was his head. Somehow it got exposed and it got whacked in the noggin, right? Somebody's not thinking right. What got exposed? Right? Got exposed, wasn't covered, wasn't protected. So to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's the for years, I guess, you know, have not grown up here. For years, they've talked about a ski place out at Hatcher's Pass, right? Where they finally got something going and they got, like, you know, plans, whatever. If you've ever skiing is like putting on armor. I mean, you're like putting on the pants and the boot. I mean, especially if you ever had to dress other people to ski, kids and stuff. Like, man, there's too much stuff, right? Goggles and gloves. Got my pole. Where's the other pole? Oh, where's the other pole? Oh, there you go. You got one pole, kid. Just get out. You don't even need poles. Get out there, you know? You're like, you got all these things. So in Christianity, sometimes we can skip over this part because we think, like, oh, I got to get dressed up. No. It is a mental thing, okay? It is a mental thing. And we'll talk about that this morning as we go. The whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, wrestling is a hands-on sport, right? Another word for it is grappling. Okay, grapple, skitters, and logging. You grab onto the log, okay? It's not chokers, right? So you could have a skitter where you got chokers, and the choker is just a big long cable, okay? It's got a thimble on the end. You wrap it around the log, hook up, and you pull out these bunch of locks. So it looks like a bunch of them being hauled out. And then they have grapple skitters. They just reach down and go and pick them up and drag them out. You got to physically grab it. When the Bible says wrestle, it is hands on to the man. Team wrestling. Well, that'd be like a street fight, probably. Everybody jump in, right? I've never said, I look at Miss Camille because her son wrestles college, and wrestling is its own culture, people. When we talk about cauliflower ear, maybe nobody over here knows, but she knows. She knows. She's just like, what is that? And you're like, oh, that's grotesque. That's a wrestling thing. Ringworm. Basketball players. No! Wrestlers! That's a wrestler thing. It's wrestling. But you grapple. Single leg takedown, that's a wrestling thing. Happens in football sometimes, you know, and usually penalized. But, hey, it is a wrestling thing. But wrestling's to the man, okay? One-on-one. Well, I'm a Christian. I say, Christian, you don't know, you're entering into a one-on-one fight. Day after day, till you die. Satan wants your mind, he wants to control you, he wants to see you defeated, he wants to see you dead. So I'm going to die anyways. Yeah, but he really wants it to be miserable and terrible and destructive, and take as many people down with you, and all these things that can happen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So I can't, it's not something I'm going to physically grab, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't have time to go into all the into all of the characteristics and descriptions of the enemy and things that we can't see, and to try to shed some light on those things. But just in a nutshell, I mean, a third of the angels that God created followed Lucifer out of heaven, so we're doing our own thing. They're the demonic powers today. If you spend time watching spook stuff on TV, You're not helping yourself. But he said, do you think things can push over stuff without? Yeah, it could happen. All right. Now, if you sit there and be like, well, can people levitate? They can make stuff do that stuff. Get over it. Right. You think Disney can. Why can't you think that God made something that decided for itself, I'm going to do something other than what God has made me to do? And they do weird stuff that's supernatural. Okay. I mean, you think about angels. Okay. So they're supernatural. Right, God made them. They're incredible. The Bible says they're made just a little bit higher than us. They can do stuff we can't do. People can do some pretty incredible things. Right, we threw in track. Mrs. Gardner, we were throwers. I used to watch Jan Zalesny. He's a Finnish javelin thrower. Throw a javelin from not just a football length, like the end zones and the extra zones. And I'm just one man throwing a spear. I'm like, oh, that's amazing to me. It's a big deal. I said, humans can do some pretty incredible stuff. But then you have angels that are above. And then you can't see these. And in my mind, there's more stuff that you can't see that goes on that's real than you can. I mean, it's just like, just be thankful this is all you can see, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because if you can see, you better run for the hills. You know, but wait, I can see up there. I don't want to run there either. You know what? There's an enemy out there. And we talked about it a little bit jokingly about Eeyore on Wednesday nights and how Eeyore just gets dominated by a black cloud that comes over him, right? And the whole world's raining to him, but the cloud's just sitting over top of him. And it has to do with his mind. Oh, man. Oh, right? And you can't see the sunshine that's out on the other side. And take two steps. You can sit there under the cloud and stay in it, right? And so these spirits that come in and change your heart is what they're trying to do, okay? Somebody that's a bitter person, there's events that have gone on in their life, and these interpretations of why the event happened and how it affects you and how you should feel, who you should blame. Oh. And if we don't go to the truth, we're going to end up a mess. And the result's always the same. The Bible says the root of bitterness springing up inside, right? It's the same. It's like, okay, well, I didn't go to the truth and see that, well, God worketh all things for my good, and through Christ I can do all things. And these things that are true, I didn't dwell on those. I dwelt on a lie or a bad interpretation of what was going on. And now I am a mess. The Bible says, in high places, spiritual wickedness, in high places. Know this, that God sits above all. So, well, it goes way up. Yeah, he's way up. Okay? That the evil goes way up. Yeah, I know, but he's way up. He's on top of all these things. And so if I put my strength in the one that sits above all things, that puts me above. The Bible says we sit together in heavenly places with him. We are already there with him. We need to think this way. The Bible says in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is one of the things that we can do to stand in this day. And if you're going to stand in this day, living as a Christian is not for wimps, people. Not for wimps. It's not. You have to do it on purpose. Well, I hope I never have any issues. They're going to happen. I'm just going to ruin your Monday. It's coming, man. Pretty soon, okay? 12 and a half hours, right? Monday's coming. Stuff's going to happen. Sunday afternoon's coming. Stuff could happen. Are you ready for it? Oh, I just want to go home and crawl under my bed. No, you can't. You've got to stand. And you've got to prepare yourself. I mean, we get to the school like 3 hours for a dumb football game because it takes time to get all the junk together and to get all your junk put on. You know, and it is a mental process, too. It's like, well, I got my helmet on. Yeah, you're ready. Hit somebody with a helmet. You're ready to use the helmet, right? You're like, oh, I hope I don't get hit. Well, you got your helmet on, but you don't want to. It's a mental thing that you prepare. Why are devotions important? You prepare yourself mentally for the day. You get on this, you're like, oh, no, look what's happening. Oh, no. And the Word of God says, I'm the Lord. I change not. I sit above all. I am the Lord. There's none else. Anything like that. Oh, so-and-so did so. Oh, my day's right. Oh. Go here first. Because you'll read this, then you'll remember this and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Lord. Man, I almost got spun up there for nothing, you know. It happens, people. Happens a lot. We get away. And I say, I got devotions. I got to stay in the Word of God for 7.5 hours. No, you don't. Enough to get your mind right so where you're straight and you're ready to go. And you know what's going on. You know. And you're prepared for lies to come your way. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay. Loins are on the inside. Sometimes we think loins and we think, oh, my loins. And we hear fruit of the loins, so we think lower than where the loins actually are. But if you cut the loins out of an animal to eat them, they're on the inside. All the guys, well, most of the guys, they say, we know this, right? You cut them out. They're on the inside. They're called tenderloins because they don't do a whole lot. They're just like in there, right? So they're not like the bicep that's lifting anything. They're just a muscle, but they're in there. Don't get me going on anatomy this morning because I had a horrible experience in college. I took genetics, cell biology, and animal physiology all in the same winter semester. And my animal phys professor didn't like men. And so I all my friends bailed on me and said, we're not taking it from her because she... It was tough. But anyhow, all those parts are in there. They're in there. It's the inside. We have to protect it with truth. If on my inside I start taking things in and they get on my inside that are untrue, my actions that come out are going to be false. They're going to be led on false premises of something that's not true. So I really need to know the truth. I have to decide that the Word of God is true, that I'm not going to change it. I'm going to let God do with it whatever He will and let it work in my life. And I have to start eating this thing like I'm going to eat some sourdough bread when I wake up in the morning. Bless God, with some fireweed honey, Brother Dave. I'm just saying, right? There's some good food out there. Amen? But I got to put this in. Oh, I don't know what's true. Read the book. Well, I read through it during the message and got, no, not that time. Read it. Read it at home. Get some reading in. Get it. People like to eat food and don't like to eat the Bible. We're missing the connection, right? We're just like, read the Word. Read it. Get some in there. How are you doing, right? Spiritually, you're a leper. Get healthy. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. The Bible tells us here, having our loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is a breastplate going to cover? Heart. Mercy sakes. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, out of the heart come the issues of life from the inside. Well, I thought they were coming. No, from the inside. From the inside. We got to protect it. The Bible says we have to keep our heart with all diligence when you can. Keep it when you can. When you think of it. No, all the time. I think, man, I got to guard my heart. If I don't, this is just, I'm just transparent can be. Me, Keith Garner, Christian Keith Garner. If I don't read my Bible in the morning, I can be short with Mrs. Garner. I can be short with the shorter people in my house. I'm already short with the dog even on a good day, bless God. I can even be even, Jimmy. Dog! That's just how it. That's how it shows in me, in my life. I know I have to read the Bible. And I don't read it just so I'm a nicer person in the morning. I need to read the Word of God. I got to have it. I got to have my loins girt about with truth. And I need to put on this breastplate of righteousness. It protects my heart from junk. Absolute junk. They're coming, right? They're coming. All the arrows, they're coming. Verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right? In my heart, I'm prepared to share with people, to be kind. One, to share a smile, right? It's not that, well, I got to tell them they're this. I got to tell them. How would you want to be greeted by somebody with a smile? Hey, how are you doing today? Hey, get out of my way. When are you leaving? Are you going to park here forever? Forever? Let's go. I mean, it's like Christmas time at the post office, you know, and the line's already back. You're like, oh, Lord. Everybody is. People wait in the Palmer post office like people wait in the election line. It's pretty quiet. You know, we're all steaming inside, but we're pretty quiet. You know, we help each other. Somebody drops their stuff. They help them, you know, and every once in a while somebody comes in. Oh, hey. It's like Costco. You always meet somebody you know. And, oh, yeah, sit there, talk about whatever. So, but, man, every once in a while you get somebody in there. You know, and then Santa's, you know, 8 months late. And that's just, you know, and. What do you mean I gotta have my ID? Gotta have your ID. Gotta vote. Gotta have your ID. Get your mail. Gotta have your ID. Well, I got everybody in Palmer memorized. You got a black eye, but I still know what you look like. No, you can't have that package. That's not, you're not Missa. Yeah, you got to have your ID, people. Give me a break. Right? Not prepared. You don't want to needle them and say, you didn't put your armor on this morning, did you? You know, oh, right? These are the things that happen, right? We just get, we got to prepare. We got to prepare. The Bible says, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It means you got to be a kind of a peaceful person. Peaceful. You've made peace with God yourself, and you're willing to share that, how that worked with somebody else. Start with a smile. Hear their story. Don't defend self. Just hear what they got going on. But you're ready to do those things. The Bible says in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Face the shield. The Bible says, the Lord is my buckler, the psalmist said. David says, he's my shield. I'm putting my trust in Him. Think about this, people. Somebody somewhere spent a lot of time making something sharp to send at you very quickly, right? I mean, surface area of an arrow on the end isn't very big. It's like, I saw it coming, right? Really? Like, right? Yeah. I mean, there's not much to see there, okay? And so you got one shot, you got one chance, and what are you going to throw up to stop this thing that's about to pierce you through? Shield. So it's a pretty important piece. It's something you want to have. And if it's me, I don't want it to be the size of a tea saucer. Bless God, I want it to be like a trash can sized lid or something bigger. Or I want something, throw it up there. I can block them all with this shield of faith. Not faith in me. Faith in God. Because I know the truth. Nobody loves you. But God loves me. What God says He does. Just broke your arrow there, buddy. Go on down the road. Find a different lie. Because they're just going to keep coming until one sticks. One sticks. The Bible says, verse 16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. Right? So there's no lies that the devil can get by that God hasn't already given a truth for. Not one. There's not one. There isn't any. There's none. Well, what happened? Now I'm wounded. Why? What happened? Right? Ahab, the aimless, nameless bowman. And God said, boy, you're going to get shot. You're going to die. Your wife's going to get ate up by a dog. I mean, just it's crazy. You read the end of Ahab and Jezebel, it's just like, we want Jezebel. Yeah, throw her down. Got all her makeup on. He's like, throw her down. Bible's a rough book in spots. I mean, it's tough, right? Here's Ahab, oh, run for battle. And some guy's like, oh, I'm just taking a room. You know, God knew where that arrow was going and done. Over. Finished. The Bible says that we have to be able to quench all these fiery darts. He's going to lob them in. And sometimes he's just like, I'm just going to keep lobbing them in. Hopefully one of them will stick. Oh, no, they're not. That's the Word of God. The Word of God. God doesn't care about you. God's not going to protect you. Your country's a mess. All blah, 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 all this stuff. God does love us. The sign's going to say tonight, righteousness, righteousness exalted a nation. I can't make the signs political. My flesh wants to so badly. It is not my platform. That is God's sign. And if I ever put anything out there that's whatever, you let me know. But I just want to put Scripture out there because that's all I want. I don't want to be like, but anyhow, this is true. It exalts a nation. Righteousness, purity of heart will exalt a nation, and much of the impurity needs to be cleansed. That's what we're trying and working to do by preaching the Word of God. The Bible says that we need to have that shield of faith. People get wounded because they've taken an untruth. And they don't block that thing out. And ladies, you have to be careful, okay? And guys, you got to help. Ladies, you're emotional people just by nature. God made you that way. And you have to watch sometimes. Go to, and this is say, this is broke down, and it is such an, I think it's all a part of the, you know, the idea is if we can destroy the home, we destroy the church, destroy churches, we destroy communities. And we're just a mess that way. You say, well, I've got to have a husband. I've got to have a man watching over me. He's my boss. He's my this. He's my that. Okay? You can think about it that way if you want to. But how I think of Mrs. Garner, where I have blind spots, I ask her. If I have women dealings or people dealings in general, I will ask her. I'm saying, what do you think about this? How do you know? What did you see? How can you tell? Well, this, I'm like, okay, it's right like 99.989999% of the time. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay, I'm like, okay, so I could say, well, I'm the man from the truck. No, or I could say, you know what, you're my other half. You see my blind spots. When the truck says, if you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you. Oh, that's just a sign. Oh, you know. No, you're in his blind spot. Again, I don't live there. Get out. What's your mirrors? Come over here. You know, I can see you. You have a blind spot. Ask. Husband, am I being emotional about this thing? What is it? Say, well, you know. Tread lightly, men, right? Be like, that's what we teach men. Go. Well, I mean, just think about this, right? Think about this, right? Now, ladies, you love your kids. You carried your kids. We didn't carry them. We just watched you carry them. I mean, there's so much, you got all that going on. Something comes in a, you know, it's going to attack your kid of thought. Somebody says something about you. You're, oh, right? Hey, some of that might be true, maybe, you know. I mean, right? Husband, we're trying to help you. Right? Why? As the arrow's coming in, right? But you don't see him. You don't see it coming, right? You don't see what it's doing to yourself. And somebody takes one of those in, and it just, That's why you need to listen to the one that God made for you. Marriage is a huge deal. It's not like, well, that's a girl. That'll work. You know, come on. God has them. Why? It's your other half. There's nothing worse than that puzzle that's piece short. Which one of you has it? Who took it, right, in our house? Who took it? That's why we don't do buzz barrel. Who took it? overnight, it magically appears, right? There it is, right? So here's your other half. That's your completer that works, that helps you to see. God's like, well, this will be cool. We'll just, no. God helps us to see. It is. We don't help God to see. I mean, it is the picture of the church and the Lord as the bridegroom. And the bride of Christ. And he helps us. He helps us. So very important that we understand we got to watch out for these darts. Some of them come in from different places. Some of them are going to come from family sometimes. It's okay. We're together. Don't vilify and hate. It's just saying, you know what? That's just not true. It's not true. That's not the word of God. If there's something that'll help us there, hey, we'll take from it. But that is not the word of God. Look at 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Okay? The helmet of salvation. Now, the Bible says that this is put on the whole armor of. So who are you putting on? The Bible says that we're put on Christ, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's Romans 13. So if we're going to put on Christ, the Bible says here, put on the helmet of salvation. Who's our salvation? God is our salvation. Well, I'm saved. I got saved in 19, but that's not what I'm talking about. He's going to save you in this mess if you'll think of him instead of thinking away how to get out of it or how to make it work in the flesh. Does that make sense? He will help you. That's what makes him your salvation. God's my salvation. He helps me all the time. I was telling the boys, we were talking about black ice, and Pastor Mike's our children's pastor, but they're doing some kind of, I don't know what it was. They're in Montana driving for something. And I just remember him, he'd use this illustration probably every year and a half. But they're driving this church van, hit some black eyes, and things just start spinning, right? They said, man, I don't know what to do, bro. He said, I just yelled out, Jesus, save us! And he said, oh, that van just went, beep, beep, and just down the road, you know? Everybody said, whoa, he yelled out. But he's our salvation. I can't believe he would save us. Do you believe he's your salvation? Then why would you be surprised that he saved you? I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's like, you're over here, you're crazy, right? He will do it! In your mind, he wants to help you all the time. What would a guardian angel be good for if it wasn't to save you out of the mess? Right? I love the memes, right? You see the guardian angels just like wasted and just like laid out on the ground and just like, oh, he's like, no, that was mine. That was my kids, you know, or all those are mine. He's there to help. They're there to help us. We want to be helped. We need to think of him like he is our salvation. Well, you know what? If I just do this, if I just stay after, if I just stay at work and a little bit longer, then I'll have this, and then I'll be able to pay for this, and then I'll be able to do this. I'll be able to write in your work, and then all of a sudden you miss your kiddos, and you miss your relationship, and you measure that. When I hear young people say, you know, I'm just telling you straight up. If you say, well, Brother Keith, you know, I'd like to, you know, work on, there's nothing wrong with working on the slope. There's nothing wrong with being a construction worker. There's nothing wrong with working on a fishing boat. But you don't get a break. You stay doing that thing. So if you want to have a family, if you want to do those things, think about where, just go down the road a little bit with that. I thought it'd be great to work on a fishing boat. This would be wonderful, right? I miss Mrs. Garner now. I don't want to be here now. I want to have the invitation, go home now, right? 3 months? Are you kidding me? No way, right? You think, well, I'm going to go. Brother Dave, it stinks, huh? It stinks, right? I'm going to send you to talk about it. I don't even tell you. I send you Brother Dave. I said, Brother Dave, what's it like to go to Glen and be there forever, for eternity, right? For eternity. Yeah. What is that like? Right? But he's faithful and he does it. Ask Ms. Camille. How is it, Ms. Camille? It's tough. And when we have separation, okay? Now, some people teach, Ben, Eve was over here and Adam was over here. And here comes the darts, right? And somebody wasn't there to say, they'll teach that sometimes. Some guys do. I don't, because I wasn't there. I don't know. But all they know is as a husband and wife, look, we're complete. We complete each other. We help each other as God helps us. And the Bible says we take on the helmet of salvation. In my mind, I'm prepared each day to know, hey, God's right. Let God be true, the Bible says. And every man a liar, and I'm one of them, right? Let God be true. It doesn't matter what I think. God's right. God's right. So my goal is to help people see, man, God's right. God's right. Now, you're going to believe God's right. I don't want anything to do with church. Well, God's right. I'm coming from that direction. He's right. He is my salvation. Last this morning, the Bible says, the sword of the Spirit. We use our tongues and cut people down. That's not a spiritual weapon. We can say things and we can really wound, but that's not a spiritual weapon. Awesome thing about the Word of God is you can use the Word of God and you can go in and use it, but your intent's not to kill somebody. It's to help them get healing. And so when the Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, right? It goes in there and all of a sudden, here's this person, you give them the Word of God and all they said, I was thinking about that the wrong way. Look what it's doing to me. Oh, unbelievable. I was thinking this way all the time, and it's the Word of God that does that. It's the powerful. It's the Word of God. I'm not using it to kill people. I'm using it to help people. Saying, look, this is the lie, right? I'm going to try to cut that out. This is the lie, right? The way soap works, okay? Soap particle. Soap goes around and they surround the dirt and they lift. They separate a space, put wash, and wash it away. It was one of my chemistry guys looking at all that in college. It's like, no, that's pretty cool. Dirt, that's awesome. You know? Soap, wonderful thing, right? I mean, that's just lift in, takes it out. The Word of God goes in and it will clean my thoughts and my intents of the heart. What are your intentions here? Oh, the Word of God will help you. That's why people run from it. It exposes. It is a bright light. It shines it down. It said, I can see clearly what it was I was thinking, what my intentions were. I'm hurt and I shouldn't be because my intentions were wrong. That's why you want to go into things in life with the right motives. I want to get married. Why? So I can have a babe. All right, babes are expensive. Just saying. I mean, okay, I get it. This is the right intentions. I want to buy this car. Why? So I can impress people. What if they don't show up to see it? You know, then what happens? You know, then it's just a car. I want to get this. Why? Right? And say, well, our intentions, our motives. I said lastly, but I got to do 18 real quick. 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I got to pray for hours. How long does it take to pray? Lord, I do not know how to pray as I ought. How long does that take? It doesn't take very long. So if you don't know what to pray for, okay, it shouldn't take you very long to let God know you're all dependent on Him because you know nothing. It shouldn't take you very long. right? But it says we always got to be there. God, help us, help us. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God will help us and make intercession for us. John 17 says Christ makes intercession for us. I have the Holy Spirit of God praying for me. I have the Son of God praying for him, for me, my Savior. That's enough to make me go forever. You're praying for me. That's awesome. Well, I got to pray with you, though, because the Bible says we work with him. I got to pray with him. I got to pray. I said, God, we want you to get glory for this thing, but I'm just a schmuck, and I don't know which way to go, and I want to blow it. Can you show me which way to go? I'm not going to walk through nothing until you show me what to do. And it may take some time. But the Bible says we have to pray, praying always with all supplication, and in the Spirit, that means led of him. Okay, in the Spirit, you're ready to be directed by him. Okay, not in the flesh. I'm not directed by my flesh. I don't have this inspiration. I didn't read a book, a how-to of somebody. Oh, they just did this and this, and then they got it. Well, I want God to show me how to do it. I want God to show me if I need to carry a pitcher into battle. I want God to show me if I need a jawbone of an ass. It'll be hard to find in Alaska, but I'll go find me one and take his jawbone out. And you know, I want God to show me. What do I need to do? What do I do? Show me what to do. Build an ark or go for one. Okay. Call him Brother Tom, right? Mercy, how long is this going to take? Just to scale. Oh, man. It's going to be a long time. I don't know what he wants me. But I have to, so I have to be always asking him. Lastly, it says here in 18, and watching. And watching, you're trusting. He says, man, can you come and pray and just watch with me for 1 hour? So I'm going to tell God I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to tell God that he knows what he's doing. I'm telling you, that's how simple praying can be. Oh, Lord, would you do this? And we really need this, and it has to be by the... He knows calendars. He knows. Time doesn't mean nothing to him. He knows, and he knows when you really need it. How many of y'all know what it sounds like when your mailbox got something in it when it doesn't? At the post office. Yeah. Like, ooh, ooh. The Lord knows what it sounds like too. Ha ha! Oh, ye of little faith! Wherefore did you doubt, you mustard seed Christian? Come on! You know, I guess, Lord. Oh, Lord. Okay? You're watching. You're trusting. You've got to trust while you're watching. Are you even watching? Well, I prayed and watch! What's he going to do? Don't miss it. Don't miss what he's has for you. I'm talking little things. Like he just says, wow, what? God did that. God aligned that. God did. If you believe God's working and he's directing, watch for how he's doing. Just watch. The Bible says, thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yeah, persevere. We're not trying to earn salvation and persevere to the end as the weirdos take the Bible and, okay? Have we figured out it's a fight yet, right? We up and down a little bit? Yeah, we are. You got to persevere. That means you got to be here tomorrow. Lord willing, he lets you live, right? I mean, you got to be here. Persevere means I ain't quitting. I won't quit. Can't stand quitting. Quitting doesn't make sense. Quitting is when I'm just like, oh, I'm done. Well, okay. All right. Must mean our strength is small. God's not small. I'm relying on him, so I'm going to go until he says quit for me. That'll work. How long do I think? I'm going to go until he says, we're just it. We're done. It's a mindset. You get up and prepare. I know when kids aren't ready to play. I know it. Because all the little things that you taught all week is like, hey, look, if they come out in this front, you need to be able, and don't forget to tell your buddy. You know, somebody gets drilled, and you're like, dude, friendly fire. There are a lot of injuries in football from your own friends, your own teammates. Either physically, like they land in you and break you, or they were supposed to do something and that something didn't happen. And that something was really important because there was somebody over here coming real fast and they didn't get stopped. And what happened? Dude, you're supposed to go left and you went right. Like, what are you doing? Right? Because Thursday, Wednesday, you were like, oh, man, you see that girl in third hour class? I don't know, she's pretty cute, but she's wearing a mask. I couldn't really tell. Right? I don't know. They're not thinking about what they're doing. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh. And I got to tell myself, dude, they're 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. They're not that bright. You're not working with a whole lot. Don't get on here. Like, I'll go home sometime. I'll be like, whoa, what am I doing? I'm wasting my life. I was like, not a lot there.
trying to encourage them. Right?
But if you prepare, it's so much fun when they're prepared. And to see some skinny little old nothing weighs 100 and nothing be jacked because he thought about it all week. You knew he was ready and he made the play. And he's like, ah, and it may make no significance in the cosmos, but hey, kid took some steps. That's wonderful. He was ready. You take some steps in your Christian life where you're like, ah, I was ready. Did you see this? And it would be like, oh, God's excited about the Lord. I was getting excited too. Right? No, prepare. You wake up, and I get it. People say, well, I'm not a morning person. I read my Bible, and I read my Bible. Oh, whatever, okay? However you got to do to prepare. I know this. Work starts in the mornings, okay? And I know that. Work starts in the mornings, and whatever you can do to prepare. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. Are you ready to go out the door and get blasted? Are you ready to go out the door and to be a help to somebody? Are you ready to go out the door and be helped by somebody? Oh, no, I don't need any help. Right? That's one of my faults many times. Right? I don't receive very well. I'm a bad receiver. That's not good, especially around Christmas time. Right? I like to do blessings. I like to give. I'm bad at receiving. That hurts people's giving. But it's not good. Am I prepared for those things? All kinds of things. You're prepared for a bad phone call? You make a doctor's visit and get a bad phone call? Right? Guess what? We're a human body made of cells. Sometimes those cells start making more cells, unregulated. And they become a mass. A tumor is the name for them, right? It could happen. Who knows all these things? He knows them all. Well, it's approximately this way, but this way. He knows all that stuff. Don't be surprised by that stuff. Prepare yourself. Don't be somebody that gets some news from a human and be like, oh, I'm broken. I can't go on. I quit. God never quit. God never quit. He's going to put you through some of these things to bring you through on the other side as a shining testimony for Him. He says, look at this opportunity. You're like, look at this mess. He's like, this is an opportunity. There's a doctor in there. This is his last chance to hear the gospel. But you don't know it yet. And you're going to kick and say, like, I don't want this. I can't believe this. And all his eternal destination rests on this thing. And we won't just submit and say, God, my body's yours. You can do with me what you will. Whatever you want to do. I don't know what you're doing, but you just do as you will. I have some fatalistic, oh, I'm going to die. It's all over. Yeah, you're going to die. Read the book. It's in there. They got an appointment with it. Let God use you. Let Him use you. Put on the whole armor. Put it on. Are you ready? Put your mind, you know. I mean, God asked those guys, He said, are you ready? Peter's like, we're ready, Lord. We're ready to go with you even to the death. And we know he wasn't ready, right? Because his motives weren't right. His thinking wasn't right. God, you want us to be ready? I'm going to chop this guy's ear off. If he gives you a lip, I'm going to clean his ear off the other side. You're going to be a deaf mute, right? Ah, I was ready. Ah! Not ready. Ear back on. Peter, put your sword down. Okay. I want you to preach the word. Okay? Not ready! When we get ready, prepare. This is every day. Preacher and I would talk about people in ministry and somebody got in trouble or something happened. There's no, right? I mean, we go back to it. Somebody got out of Bible reading. Somebody got out of the fellowship of the Lord. Somebody got out of just the simple, simple things of waking up and getting ready. That's what happened. Went out and got whacked. Forgot what the game plan was. Got just hit. It's devastating. It affects a lot of people. People get injured and it affects a lot of people. A lot of people get hurt. I don't want that to happen. I want people to get ready. Encourage people to get ready. Encourage our young people to get ready. Man, if you could just read a couple of verses in the morning, get your mind right. Especially going to school with other people who don't believe. It's not the end of the world that your kids go to public school. It's not the end of the world that they homeschool. School is school. People are people. I used to think, well, homeschool is this perfect bubble, and there's just only perfect people there, and no perfect people's kids, and it's perfect. Then I got there, and I said, wow again, right? I just roll up my sleeves and jump in, right? Assume they're all lost, and assume, right? I just told them, it was great. Nothing's what we think, like, oh, this, it's perfect, it's this. I have to get ready.
And I got to put on this whole armor of God. Let's stand. We'll sing this morning. I think it's really close up in the book. Jesus paid it all. Verse three, or song number three. Put on the whole armor of God. He says, get ready. Get ready. The darts are going to come. Got my shield of faith. Am I trusting in God's word? Do I know the truth? Am I girding myself about with truth? So I can tell what the lie is. Altar's open this morning. Hymn number three.
We'll see. Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.